What is Bible prophecy? Simply put, Bible prophecy is God-given history in advance. Please stay tuned. Your prophecy reality update is just ahead. Will Zionism self-destruct? There's one for you. We're all interested in Zionism. Yes, we're talking about worldly Zionism. The brand of Zionism that says that the Jews are going to rule the world. Of course, that's a delusion by some people who thinks that the Jews are going to rule the world. Let's see. We will forever fully support Israel's right to exist. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. USLC. You know, I support their right to exist. Definitely. Yeah. I support everybody's right to exist because they're here. But I don't have to support their government because I don't like their government. Yeah. I don't think their government is a godly government. I don't think they love my King Jesus at all. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure that they hate him and they don't even like Christians in their country. The only Christians they like are the stupid ones in America that worship them and send them billions of dollars every year. So they pretend to love Christians that much. They like Christians like John Hagee. Yeah. That's the kind of Christians they like. Oh, and like Mike Johnson, who is deluded. Yeah. Hamas equals Haman. Well, it does. They do have a name similar to each other. Hamas and Haman, but, you know, it's kind of a sounds alike thing, but doesn't mean that it's the same thing because it sounds like it. But yes, I'd like to see your thesis on that. Seriously. But yeah, I'm so glad that there are missionaries over there in Israel preaching the gospel to those poor Hebrew people or Jews, whether they're Hebrew or not. Let the gospel be preached to every nation, as the word says. You've taken leave of your senses. Oh, let the guy be happy. Yeah. But, well, I hope he's sending all his money to Israel if he really thinks that's what it means to support them. I support the gospel in every land. Yeah, I do. You know, I'm all for it as far as, you know, if I'm just virtue signaling, but as far as sending my money, I'm glad that there are people that do send money for the gospel to Israel, but I'm not sending any of my money to Israel for the gospel. I never even thought of doing it. Yeah. I feel like I'm giving where God wants me to give. So that's how I support, you know, the gospel. And the poor, you know, if I send money, support, to your family first. Yeah. Because anyone who doesn't take care of his own is worse than an infidel. Didn't you read that? I read that in the Bible somewhere. To the Jew first. Yeah, well, salvation was to the Jew first. That is true. Because during the 70th week, Jesus said, I have not come but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And the gospel is preached to the Jew first. And then, when the 70th week was up, then the Holy Spirit was also poured out on the Gentiles, because it was about 34 AD. And as those Jews were astonished that the Gentiles were also receiving the Holy Spirit. But the 70th week was over. And so was Israel's time as a set-apart nation. It was done. 70 weeks are determined. Yeah. And then, of course, by God's mercy, he let them hang out there until 70 AD, when he brought the destruction, as prophesied, by Jesus himself on the nation of temple. By Jesus and, of course, Daniel prophesied the same destruction. So, yes, the gospel did go to the Jew first. I agree with that, Happy. I read the book and I just told you about it. Yeah, so. But. Oh, he says the 70th week is still yet future. Okay, well, what was that week that followed the 69th then? Was that like 71? And if the 70th week wasn't after the 69th, and I thought the 70th week was the Messiah's week, because the prophecy says 69 weeks unto Messiah the Prince. Yeah. I think you're a little mixed up there, Happy. You got to show me that in the Bible, man, because it's, you know, what you're saying isn't there. So, yeah, you know, if the 70th week didn't follow the 69th week, then the prophecy is false. Good God, I hope the 70th week did follow the 69th week. Yeah. Otherwise, the prophecy isn't complete. If Jesus didn't come after the 69th week and show up at the Jordan River baptism, if he wasn't cut off in the middle of the week following the 69th week, in the midst of the week, he shall be cut off, but not for himself. And in the midst of the week, he shall put an end to the sacrifice and oblation, which he did by the sacrifice of himself for our sins in the midst of the 3.5 years after the Jordan River baptism. That's what he did. So that was in the midst of the following week, the final week, the 70th week. Yeah. So, and I'm being a literalist here. It says 70 weeks. I believe it. So you must not be a dispensationalist, because they claim to be the literalists. And yeah. So I'm being literal here. When it says 70 weeks, I believe it. I don't see any gaps or let's wait 1800 years or anything like that. I see unto Messiah the Prince. Jesus showed up. He qualified as Messiah because he was 30 years old. And you had to be 30 years old by the law to assume a high priest position. And Jesus did that. He forgave sins. Only a high priest could do that. And only him as high priest could do that, because none of the other high priests could forgive sins except by the temporary covering of the blood of bulls and goats. So Jesus sacrificed himself as our high priest in the midst of the week. Put an end to the sacrifice oblation by the sacrifice of himself, so that bulls and goats were no longer acceptable. They became an abomination. And even though God put an end to the sacrifice, and there was an earthquake, and the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom, those stupid Jews, they went and repaired the veil in the temple and made the necessary repairs so they could continue the animal sacrifice in the temple. Abomination. Yeah. Because that's what the abomination to make it desolate is. It's a wrong sacrifice. Ask Daniel. Wherever abomination appears in Daniel, it's what we're instructed in Matthew to do. To look in Daniel to learn about the abomination that maketh desolate, being a wrong sacrifice in the temple. And that's what happened. No, I'm sorry. Chapter 12, Authorized King James Bible, doesn't say that I am false. I would like to think that I'm in the Bible, but I'm not. You know, and I've read chapter 12. Yeah. And you have to tell me where what I'm saying is false. Yeah. What exactly does it say that you're referring to there in Daniel chapter 12 that says what I'm saying is wrong? Because here I got it. Chapter 12, here it is, Authorized King James Version. That's the one I use. You can see it right there on the screen. Which verse are you referring to? And from the time the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, shall be 1,290 days. Yeah, and that's because it was in the middle of the week. And 1,290 days was the remainder of the week. And then the 70th week ended. The time determined for Israel was over with. It says, abomination that maketh desolate set up. It was set up. The abominable sacrifices, when they reinstituted the animal sacrifices, that was the abomination in the temple being set up. It was an abomination because God sacrificed his own son for our sins, and for them to set up the animal sacrifices again was an abomination. Made a standing practice in the temple. Because God signified by that earthquake, by the renting of the veil in the temple from top to bottom, that the sacrifice was done in the midst of the week. When Christ was sacrificed his own life for our sins as our high priest. That's it. You can't argue with that. That's history. That happened. And yes, this is what Matthew is referring to when he said, let the reader understand, after pointing us to, after the Messiah points us to Daniel to understand. This is it. That's exactly what he was referring to. And there was that, and it was in the midst of the week. There was 3.5 years left. So 1,290 days. That's 3.5 years. Especially if they had a second Adar in one of those years. I'm probably losing you here now, right? Anyway, it's good to have you back, Happy. But you need to understand. I got a gift for you, Happy. Here, I'm going to put it in the chat room for you. You can read my book on the Abraham Accord. And then you can come back and you can intelligently try to refute what I'm saying, okay? Anyway, there you go. My gift to you. Free copy of my book, The Abraham Accord. There's a lot there to take away. You're incorrect. Daniel, I says it's still yet future. The final 70th week is still future. Oh, you are a bozo. Oh, good. Ad hominem attack. That's right. You can't intelligently refute anything I'm saying, so now you just call me names. I just send you a PDF. There's no paper. Sorry. So it's not good for toilet paper, but it will enlighten you. But you don't want to intelligently refute anything I'm saying. You're afraid, if you read my book, you're afraid that you won't be able to refute what I'm saying. So I'm challenging you. You know, and I'm not going to call you any names. But that's what unintelligent people do. They revert to calling names. Yeah. So, but anyway, there it is. Yeah, intelligently refute what I'm saying. It's in the book. It's written down for you. There's no way for me to wiggle out. You have it in writing. So, and here, I'll point you to the right chapter here. Let's see, go to chapter 2, 7-year tribulation, version confusion. You can go to, chapter 4, the New Testament temple. Yeah, refute me on those things. Refute me on anything you can in the book. I'll be waiting. Yeah, now I won't hold my breath. But anyway, there it is. It's in anybody. Pass it around. You might learn something there. Happy. I hope you will read the book. And if you really think I'm wrong and you could show me in the scripture where I'm wrong, I will repent. I will rewrite my book. I will throw them all away. I will write a book that says I was wrong. And Happy showed me where I was wrong. Please. Because I'm looking for the truth. That's how I've got to where I'm at, because I was looking for the truth. Because I wanted to teach. Yeah, I wanted to teach dispensationalism, because that's what I learned when I started teaching the Bible in 1995. And I thought, all right, I get to teach on prophecy. The only problem was I couldn't find a pre-tribulation resurrection called a rapture anywhere in the whole Bible. So I thought, well, I can't teach that. So I became a post-tribulationist. And like I say, I had a lot to learn. Yeah. He says, you're not looking for truth. You want recognition for writing books. If I wanted recognition for writing books, I would write the books that the world wants to read. I would write books on the rapture if that's what I wanted. I know what's popular, and I know what's not popular. Okay? The truth is what's not popular. Okay? What's popular is what everybody's doing. Have you read Matthew chapter 7, my friend? Did you know that Matthew chapter 7 points out the fact that most of the people in the church are tares? And that few are wheat? That most people are in a broad way to destruction? And the way to life is the narrow way, and few there be that find it? Yeah. So if you want what's popular, then you go here. Go, look, here's what's popular. You'll never find my books here. Okay, here it is. Bestsellers in Christian Prophecies. Rapture, 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 pre-trib rapture books, fill it up. All this is pre-tribulation rapture books and other nonsense. This is what's popular. If I wanted recognition for writing books, I would write books like this because I could write them easily, except it would bother my conscience to write this kind of crap and sell it to Christians. And I'll tell you what, I would not want to stand before the judge of the universe on the day that judgment comes and have to answer for writing this stuff and deceiving the least of his people. These are the people that want and get recognition, not me. I'm not out here shadow banned with 5 listeners to my broadcast because I want recognition, buddy. You have no idea what you're talking about. You haven't been me for 30 years. You have no idea what you're talking about at all. You're living in a fantasy world because you believe lies. Wake up. Because you won't even bother to consider anything other than what all of these people that wrote all of these books have already taught you. Well, they taught me the same thing. Some of these books here, I can probably find the books that I read 50 years ago. Here's one right here, The Late Great Planet Earth. That was one of the first books I read in the 1970s after I became a young Christian. And I believed in the rapture. I believed it. And it's all full of lies. And I believed it until the 1990s when God called me to start teaching out of the Bible. And I said, well, I'm going to teach because whatever I teach, I have to find in this book called the Bible. And I'll tell you what is not in there. There's no pre-tribulation resurrection at all. None. There are only 2 resurrections, one at Christ's return and one at the end of the millennium. And I'm going to be in that one when he returns. And it's not a pre-tribulation one. It's not been divided into 2. No such thing in the Bible. This book is a lie. It lied to me. 1970, right? I read the book in the 1970s, and I believed it because all my preachers, everywhere I went to church, they preached it from the pulpit. When I listened to Bible teaching on the radio, they all taught the same thing. Every single one of them. It wasn't until I started reading the Bible and had to teach it for myself, I thought, well, I can only teach what's in here, and I cannot teach a pre-tribulation rapture called a resurrection, or a resurrection called a rapture, because they've redefined the word rapture to mean a pre-tribulation resurrection. It's a lie. It isn't in the Bible. And that's all there is to it. And also put a gap in Daniel 70 weeks. All of these people are putting the gap in Daniel 70 weeks. You know what God said to them? You know what God says to them? If you add to my book, I'm going to add the plagues that are written in the book to you. Well, I'm not going to have any plagues added to me because I'm not adding to his book. There's no gap in between the 69th and the 70th week. Not to be found. The 70th week is the Messiah's week. It does not belong to the Antichrist. The Antichrist is, there's no Antichrist in the Daniel 70 weeks prophecy anywhere. They take the Messiah's week and they give it to the Antichrist. Another lie. I mean, they take Jesus' week, the very week of the Messiah that he showed up for. Are you going to tell me that Jesus didn't show up at the end of the 69th week? That he wasn't born for that day? That that wasn't his week? And you're going to give it to an Antichrist who doesn't even appear in the text at the end of time to vindicate the true Antichrist and his great apostasy? Because that's all you're doing, is you're vindicating the true Antichrist by parroting his counter-reformation false eschatology. Because that's what it is. There it is, since the 1970s. And it's still in the top 100 today. See, I know what I would have to write if I want to sell a book that makes a lot of money. I am not blind. I'm not an idiot. I'm just a man who won't speak lies and fears God more than all of these authors. Well, that's all I have time for today. May the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel on the narrow way that leads to life. I'll see you next time. Secrets of the Rapture. Is there a 500-year-old conspiracy? A propaganda machine so pervasive and entrenched, yet so elusive that the entire world could be taken in by it, working in plain sight, but unseen by the world for what it truly is? If prophecy is God-given history in advance, why does the prophecy that has conquered the age also exclude nearly 2,000 years of history? What is it that they are afraid that the light of history will reveal? To understand our place in time and prophecy, we must look in history for an interpretation, that which stands the test of time, that which agrees with the Word of God, and history has proven to be true. When cunning fables and fearful speculations are removed from our sight, then we may clearly see what is truly expressed in Bible prophecy, both that which has been fulfilled and that which has yet to come. God's express word is the sword that must be wielded to remove the scales from the eyes and dispel the darkness of deceitful conjecture. Secrets of the Rapture was written to expose that which the spirit of the age has conjured out of the darkness to blind the eyes of the church in the world today. Secrets of the Rapture, Deconstructing Pre-Tribulation Dispensational Futurism, by yours truly, Nicholas Arthur, is now available at Lulu.com and Amazon. Secrets of the Rapture,